Good morning. This is Jennifer. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. Got my Bible. Ta-da. I love my Bible, by the way. I haven't already mentioned that before. I mean, I love God's Word, but I love this Bible a lot. It's really been very helpful for me to switch over to this particular layout in terms of my studying. So I mentioned it before. I mentioned it again. It's a wide margin, very wide margin, center reference ESV. I have also the wide margin ESV by Crossway. This is the wide margin ESV by Cambridge. Totally different. You know, I think I'm going to need to, should I? I don't know. I ask you, how's the sound? I didn't put my mic on this morning. How's the sound? Is it good? I feel like I look like a stewardess when I do it like that. Oh, well, we're recording. I should get down to business. All right. Good morning again. I'm not going to use the mic today. Sorry if it's a little bit echoey. We're going to get started with prayer. Open up your lessons. We're on Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 to 14, part 1. We're going to do part 1 today, part 2, of course, tomorrow, and that'll wrap us up. Is that right? Oh, no, we finish on Saturday, but you'll be on your own on Saturday because 10 days, but we started a day off. Anyway, long story short, you'll be on your own to finish up the lesson on your own. Okay, praying. To begin with, this is what we need to do. I need my brain focused, so let's do that. Ah, Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the time in your word. Your word is life and truth and centering in the very truest sense of the word in terms of who we need to be focused on. Thank you for that. Thank you for your word this morning, especially to Hebrews and the power that we have in just connecting with you in this way. We just ask your hand of blessing on our time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do this. So our wrapping up portion here is Hebrews chapter 1, of course, and we're in the second portion of our study through verse 14. So let me go ahead and read that through for you, beginning in verse, well, I'm just going to read the whole thing. It's not that long. All right. Long ago and many times, actually, I like reading it from my online. Let me get over to Bible Gateway. If you don't already loving Bible Gateway for reading your scripture from and bouncing around from multiple translations, I really do recommend it. Other online tools I use are Bible Hub and, oh my gosh, my brain is going to go blanking out. There's a lot of them. Bible Hub is one of them I might use as well. Okay, so let me go ahead and get this called up. It's easier to read if I do it on screen. Okay. Chapter 1. Long ago, and in many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels wings. Makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, but like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years have no end." And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? By the way, that's us. Awesome stuff today. All right, so the Bible is filled with mentions of angels. 108 mentions in the Tanakh, which we've learned in a previous lesson is the Old Testament, and 165 in the New Testament. They are real and powerful and have a specific role in God's plan. However, the angels are not above Jesus, and the author of Hebrews felt it important to get that clear right at the beginning. My guess is that your issue is not that you think this or that, hold on just a second, clear this up. That you might, that you, blah, 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 I guess is that your issue is that you might think, let's try that again. One more time. My guess is that your issue is not that you might think this or that, especially an angel, is superior to Jesus. I'm sure you'd have the correct Sunday school answer to the question, who or what is better than Jesus? Nothing. Good job. Gold star for you. The issue is more likely that while we know, brain, that Jesus is better, we still act like he's not enough, heart. We underestimate Jesus. In today's lesson, let's get our brain and our heart and our life, for that matter, in sync and act like we believe what we say we believe. Amen? Ready? Let's go. All right. So this first portion here is reading about angels. And I realized now looking at it that I didn't really give you a question. So I hope you can just figure that out. But I'm asking you to look up these passages and read them. So open up your Bible to Luke 15. And if you can, you can get Matthew ready and all the above. We're just going to move right through all of these scriptures. This is also, by the way, a helpful little tip for you. Those of you who use the online version of the Bible study, you can click that link and it'll open up Bible Gateway for you and you'll see all of the scriptures. That has its pluses and minuses. It's great for convenience sake just to go right to those scriptures and read them all on one website. But you want to make sure you're in your Word and you're marking your Bible and connecting it physically on your Bible. It really does make a difference. But let's go ahead and move through those scriptures right now. And I have them called up on my computer because I use the online version when I do the Bible study with you just to make it easier for me to read and keep my head up and look at you. But when I'm reading, go ahead and try your best, especially right now as I'm yammering on, giving you time to grab those pages and get them ready, mark them in your Bible, and get better, more efficient at looking up your scriptures. Okay? All right. So Luke 15:10, just so I tell you, there is joy before angels of God over one sinner who repents. And Matthew 28. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose life will she be? For they all had her. Jesus answered them, you're wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. For by him all things were... Oh, by the way, we're not going to dig into that. I'm going to pause right there. When Jesus says they are like angels in heaven, this does not mean they transmogrify into an angel. That would be like me changing into a grasshopper. It's a different species in a sense. Humans are not going to die and go to heaven and become another angel in heaven. So if you're in the habit of saying that to people as a matter of consolation, let's be accurate to God's word and effectively communicate God's word while we're comforting people and while we're showering them with love. Let's not lie to our children and tell them mistruths, twisted scriptures, and make them not understand the scripture from a young age. Please don't tell people that when they die, comfort people by saying, well, the angel is now in heaven, or now God got another angel in heaven when your loved one dies. If that bothers you, and a hard line for you, hear me draw when I say that, I'm not sorry, but let's talk about it. I was just going to say I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I'm trying to tell you truth from God's word. So stop saying that when someone dies, it becomes another angel in heaven. They don't. And this scripture isn't saying that they do. They are like angels in heaven in the aspect of they're not getting married or given in marriage. That's a side note. Again, a freebie for those of you who join the online Bible study, because that's not in this lesson at all. All right. You've had time now to move over to Colossians 1, 16 through 17. Let me read that to you. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is therefore before all things, and in him all things hold together. And Mark 13:32. But concerning that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And Jude 6. And the angels who did not stay with their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. And Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Wow. Lots of great information about angels. So in summary, what can you learn about angels then from these passages? Write some of those key facts down and get it straight in your head what angels are, what they're not. This is a really quick overview. This is an angelology study, which actually is a realm of study to study angels. But angels rejoice. We learned that in they have emotions, right? They rejoice over a sinner that repents, and we learn that in Luke. In Matthew, they don't marry, and we don't become angels when we get to heaven. In Colossians 1, they are created because God created everything. Mark 13, not even the angels know, so they aren't given special knowledge in regards to the day or the hour of Christ's return. And in Jude, some angels did not stay in their proper authority, and they are chained in a sense by God. He's got them under his control still, under gloomy darkness until the great judgment day. They will be judged at the great judgment day. And don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, because you may be entertaining angels. This is a reference back to the Tanakh, and we'll get to that study when we study in the Hebrews at 13. So a couple quick interesting things that we can learn about angels. So use the following references to identify the names of specific angels and details about them. Well, in Daniel 18, Luke 1, and Luke Luke 1:19 and 1:30, we have an angel mentioned, so Old Testament and a New Testament reference. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, and it called Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. And the angel answered him in Luke, I am Gabriel. And again in Luke, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Again, this was Gabriel. So write his name down. What about Jude, Daniel, and in Revelation? What angel do we have mentioned here? Maybe you already know. The archangel Michael. So in Jude 9, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. In other words, contending with the devil himself, but it was on the Lord to do the rebuking of the devil. Daniel 9, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. So he assisted Daniel and was contending, and he's a king or a chief of the angels. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against thee except Michael, your prince. So again, referring to Michael contending with Daniel. And in Revelation, now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven, and the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Michael. Luke. Let's move to Luke, Ezekiel, and Isaiah for this third angel. And who do we have here? None but Satan. He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you for kings to feast their eyes on you. And Isaiah, how are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How are you cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low? You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mountain of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Satan is an angel, a fallen angel. So Jewish people at the time of the writing of Hebrews, influenced by the Essene sect, had begun to... Sorry, my computer screen just bounced up too far. I'd begun to add to God's word about angels. Wrong thinking was prevalent enough that Paul addressed it in one of his epistles. So let's take a look at Colossians, where Paul addresses them and warns them in Colossians chapter 2. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. Don't go on about angels. That's not where our focus is supposed to be. In what two ways does the author of Hebrews set Jesus apart from angels in chapter 1, verse 4? Well, right there we read, having become much superior to angels, as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. He is superior to them, and his name is more excellent than theirs. What does Hebrews 1:5, quoted from Psalm 2, say about Jesus? Well, in 1:5 we read, for which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've begotten you? This is, again, a quote from Psalm 2 that the author of Hebrews is interpreting, pointing to Jesus, and we see the author of Hebrews doing that quite a bit is taking Old Testament scripture and reminding you that, here we go, it was written back then, we're getting the interpretation now, the fulfillment now in Jesus. And this is saying that, that Jesus was begotten. Well, how can Jesus be the source of all creation and be created? Isn't he, as a created being, included in all creation? Perplexing, perhaps. Let's take a look and get some clarification from the Word of God. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. We've been going through Colossians a lot. Maybe that'll be our next Bible study. We do bounce around to Colossians quite a bit. He is the image, speaking of Jesus, the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. Did you catch that? The firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created. Hang in there. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All right? So, he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. We need to understand, and the Greek to me column over here helps us to do that. It's Greek to me. We need to understand the Greek. The Greek word translated begotten is gegeneka. Gegeneka. The word is not a chronological reference, but refers to a priority one. It speaks to the status of Jesus, not the birth order. This is important as you engage with cultists at your door, Jehovah's Witness and Mormons in particular, with claims that Jesus was a created being. They misapply this verse in particular to back up their bad theology. I hope studying Hebrews is clarifying and empowering you as you know the truth and can truly be set free from any traps of cultic thinking. So just to really clarify this, Jesus was not begotten in the sense of, like, I begat my son, Jonathan. He wasn't born in that sense when he, well, before he was incarnate. We're going to talk about the incarnation of Christ in the next lesson. Jesus was begotten, and that word refers to a priority, not to a birth order. So it wasn't that Jesus was begotten by God and all of a sudden came into existence before he was what we call the pre-existent Christ in terms of his incarnate self. Jesus always existed because Jesus is God. This is an important doctrine that we need to make sure that we are very clear on. Let's go back up to the Know the Word review before we continue on and do a little digging into the Essenes. The Essenes were a branch of the Jewish community who taught the very high view of angels. They developed an organized system of angelology in which the Prince of Light and other heavenly princes were expected to fight along the sons of the light on the last day. They thought that Michael and his angels were going to reign in the kingdom to come. They believed that the last days were upon them and that Michael was going to bring in the eternal reign of God. This is an unbiblical teaching that led Paul to warn against. So we saw that in Colossians. And that's taken from the Jewish Virtual Library, a great resource for Jewish thinking on scriptures, Old Testament mostly. Okay, so continuing on from there, reading Hebrews chapter 1, 6 through 7, and then let's read Luke 2, 13 through 15. What are angels in relation to Jesus, and what do they do for him? Well, in Hebrews 1, 6 through 7, we see, let all God's angels worship him. He makes angels winds and ministers a flame of fire. His ministers, a flame of fire. And we never hear that spoken of Jesus, by the way. That's something specific to angels. Angels are to worship Jesus. And in Luke, suddenly there was an angel with them. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem, right? So the Lord has made it known through angels. In other words, angels were ministers. They came, they delivered a message, and they are worshiping Jesus, who is the incarnate Christ in that passage in Luke. So in Hebrews 1, 8 through 9, and Psalm 45, 6 through 7, in 8 through 9, we read, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And in Psalm 45, a psalm quoted here in this chapter of Hebrews many times, is just a repeat from this. We talked about the Septuagint, by the way, and so In this particular passage, the author of Hebrews is quoting from the Greek version of the Old Testament scriptures. It's called the Septuagint. And you can go back a couple of lessons and read a little bit more on the Septuagint if you need a brush up on that. But your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Just to clarify, sometimes this is why when you read it here in the Hebrew, in Hebrews, book of Hebrews, the wording might feel a little different than when you go back to where it being cited, from where it was being cited, because we're not reading out of the Septuagint. This is the Hebrew scriptures translated into English. And so, but the author of Hebrews was quoting the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Hebrew scriptures. It's a long story. Do some research on it if you're curious about why there appears to be discrepancies sometimes. Not in theology, but in just in wording. It's a translation issue. Septuagint is great, and that's what Hebrew, the author of Hebrews quoted from. All right, so not only is he superior to the angels, not only is he the master of the angels, he is the ruler of the kingdom. What point does the author of Hebrews make here about Jesus over the angels? He's exalted. His throne is forever. Now in Hebrews 1, 10 through 12 and Psalm 102, how does this clarify Jesus' superiority over angels? Well, in Hebrews 1, 10, we see, "You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, the heavens, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years have no end." And we see this being quoted from Psalm 102. "Of old you laid the foundation of earth, and the heavens and the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end." Again, how does this clarify his superiority? Well, not only is Jesus superior to the angels, the master of the angels, not only is he the ruler of God's kingdom, he's the creator. "You laid the foundation of the earth." Angels didn't do that. Jesus did. Jesus laid the foundations of the earth. He is the creator, and every good Hebrew knows that the creator is God. All right, so anyone reading this would have been fully reminded that Jesus has superiority over the angels. So in Hebrews 1, 13 to 14 and Psalm 110, what does this tell you about the reign and power of Christ? Hold on just a quick second. All right, so I didn't label part two on this. That's confusing. Sorry about that. I just realized I felt like this was going longer than my normal daily lessons are. All right, we can continue on. Again, apologize for that. This is supposed to be a two-day lesson, and I should have put a marking point in there for you, but you know what? I didn't. So some of you fascinating, amazing people will just jump right in and continue to do your studies, but it can feel a little bit long. We're at the 23-minute mark. Okay. Am I going to pause? I think I'll pause. I'll go ahead and pause. It's right here. Because I want to meet with you tomorrow, and this lesson was supposed to last for 2 days. I just didn't slice it for you into the two-day section. Sorry about that. All right. Reading Hebrews 1, 13 to 14 and Psalm 110, 1, what does this tell you about the reign and power of Christ? We will pick up here tomorrow morning, Friday. We'll be back here. We'll do part two tomorrow, even though I failed to mark it in your lesson. So spread the word to your groups. If anybody in your group is confused about this or whining, "These lessons are too long," like, well, you can split it up into two lessons. Everyone be grown-ups here and divide it up into the amount of time that you need for your study. Quit whining about how long the lessons are. Oh, not that anyone's whining. Not you guys. Especially those of you who listen to the study online. None of you do that, guys. You're the girls who are with me all the time. All right. You guys are awesome. We will be back here tomorrow morning. We'll continue right here at question number 18. And I apologize for the not splitting it and telling you where to stop. I was just going to keep on going and going and going. But it's nice to be here with you. Thank you for waking up early, especially those of you who join me in the live. And those of you who come at us later when you're able to, thank you for being here also. Love that you come in on YouTube. Say hi. So I'm not all alone out there and empty in the YouTube world. Just check in and say hi, leave a comment. Something that you learned today that you found interesting, challenging, a question that you might have, something that you agree with, disagree with. I love hearing that. Leave a comment below. Let me know that you're listening and share the podcast, share the video with your friends and let people know that you're enjoying God's word and encourage people to join with you as our Bible study gets together on Monday and Tuesday of next week. All right. God bless you all. Have a great rest of your day. I look forward to seeing you again real soon. Bye-bye. All right. Now it's bye.